to the Bring the Wood podcast. It's your boy RK. I'm rocking with Chris Ross Voglu. What's going on, my man?
What's going on? I'm hyped to talk football with you, man. It's been a decent bit, but I'm excited.
You know what? Quite honestly, you know, with coaching and back to teaching and a bunch of stuff, we haven't been recording, so we're back to it. And we took a little bit of a hiatus and just got our lives in order. And yeah, we're back. So I'm happy to have you on, and this is going to be a little bit of an interview process because it's an interesting thing I had to ask you. So let's imagine for a second there is a group of people, let's say 75,000 people, small town, right? This small town of people, they've never been exposed to American football in any facet. If you were to think about the way that you get your Saints information, or someone who is knowledgeable about the Saints, or that could sell the Saints to these people, so they're going to be like, I'm going to cheer for that team over, say, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the LA Rams or the Kansas City Chiefs because of the way they're marketed with Patrick Mahomes. Who would be, let's just start with one. We're going to ask you for three, but who would be one of the people that you would use to sell the Saints to these people?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first one, kind of a no-brainer, would be Nick Underhill and, you know, kind of what he does. And, you know, he's kind of checks off every box. You want scoops, he'll give you scoops. You want him to do in-depth analysis to kind of figure out what the pros and cons would be to a new signing, a new draft pick. He'll do that. I remember when Jameis Winston signed with the Saints, he went through all 30 of his picks in 2019 and broke down which ones were his fault, which ones weren't his fault. And, you know, he gives you that type of stuff. Does a lot of fan access where you can sign up and he'll do Zooms kind of with the people who subscribe to his work. So if you want to learn about different coverages, you know, if you're kind of getting acclimated to the game and you're hearing, you know, there's a single high safety or there's cover two going on, or you're trying to figure out what the heck that all means, that's the type of guy that's going to break it down for you. And I think another thing he does well is just the multitude of content. You know, maybe you're not a big reader. Well, he's got a podcast. Maybe the podcast is too long for you. Well, he does a lot of short videos on Twitter and YouTube. So he just checks off so many boxes, and his, you know, his knowledge, but more importantly, I would say his connection, whether it's with the team actually being in the locker room, the connection in a culture-based way with the New Orleans Saints is just so strong that I'd have to put him first.
That's a fair one. And like you said, it's a no-brainer. I think since Nick's come back from Massachusetts, I think we've all seen that the media that we're getting from the Saints is on point. And I don't think there's another fan base that gets the same kind of quality that we do as Saints fans. I know there's beat writers for other teams, but they're usually employed by Sports Nation or ESPN. And Nick doing his own thing, he doesn't have to answer to anybody. So I think a lot of the stuff that we do get from him is super quality. And he's in the building. You know, one thing I do appreciate about Nick, and I don't know if you can attest to this, but he doesn't speak in definitives. Even if he knows something and you think that he knows something, he doesn't speak in definitives. Do you kind of catch the same thing from him?
Oh, absolutely. And I think he does a good job of that, because the one thing people have to know, especially football, is things change on a dime. So, you know, even if Nick's 99% sure something's going to happen, there is that 1% that either it's not going to happen, or maybe Nick doesn't want it to come off in a negative way. And he just does such a good job of kind of playing that. And I'd say he also does a good job of kind of, in a way, also hinting. You know, there's so many people who, you know, a move happens, they go, man, I didn't see this coming. I'm like, well, if you go look at the way Nick worded a tweet, you know, a day ago, you'd be like, he's kind of letting you know what was going to happen. So he does such a fantastic job of that as well. You're right.
Yeah, and by proximity, we would also put Kevin Washington in there, because him and Kevin,
absolutely,
yeah, they're symbiotic there. Okay, give me a second one.
Second one, I'm going to go with, you know, someone who I think he just continues to rise up the ranks, and that's Ross Jackson. I think, for starters, just pure voice. I tell him this all the time, and he always cracks up. I'll DM him. I'm like, Ross, no one does ad reads better than you. Like, you're just I'm sitting there, I'm listening to Locked On Saints, and I'm like, you know what? I want to buy whatever he's selling, you know. But, you know, from a football perspective, I mean, the guy does a podcast every single day about the Saints. He's always such a respectful human being with everything that he does. And I think the thing that I love about Ross is he's always, no matter who he's talking to, he's having conversations so he can understand what someone's perspective might be. Like, I'll see him talking about prospects that the Saints might be interested in. And if someone disagrees with him, he wants to sit there and just hear out their take and kind of see why they see a certain situation in a different light. And I love that about him. He's another content machine, whether it's on Locked On Saints or Saints Wire Now for USA Today Sports. He's just, the guy continues to climb up the ladder, and It doesn't matter if it's the numbers game. He does that so well. I mean, he puts up a lot of advanced statistics that I'm a big fan of. Podcasting wise, I would go as far to say, you know, when you want a day-to-day podcast, that he's got to be the guy. Like, he's the one who dominates that kind of outlet. And the thing about Ross that I think would make him such a draw to anyone getting used to football is I think the best is yet to come for him. So you could just, you know, get acclimated to what Ross is doing right now, and if 5 years from now he could be even more big time, and you'll almost be along there for the ride with him. Yeah. And I think that's just awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Ross is one of those guys as well. Like, he'd be the kind of guy that, you know, you'd see if you were in New Orleans. You could slap hands with him and be like, you want to go have a drink? Like, just sit down, talk. And he'd be like, yeah, let's do it. And he'd just be like really kind in that manner, which I think is pretty unique as well for somebody that does what he does. Who's the third person that you would, or third group of people that you would use to sell the Saints?
Yeah, I think, you know, the third one, it's funny. So we talk about Nick, who kind of feels like the no-brainer. Then Ross, who, he's just a rising star in this profession. And then the third one, I got to give it to two guys that if you're just looking for uniqueness, they really hit it. I'm going to go with Ryan and Adam of the Saints Twitter podcast, because, you know, the one thing that I love, you know, and that's why I try, you know, even for myself, like when I'm on Twitter, I try not to be too serious sometimes, because at the end of the day, what attracted me to the Saints was fandom. Like, it wasn't, oh, you know, they seem fun to cover. Like, no, like, as a fan, I loved watching them, and then it kind of progresses from there. And I think if you're going in and maybe the analytics and X and O stuff, that's not for you, and maybe the advanced pieces aren't for you, and you just want to hear fan reactions, whether it is a little exaggerated or whether, you know, they're a little too harsh, you know, they're gonna kind of come off in the perfect fan approach way. And even though it really is one of those for the fan type podcasts, they know their football. Like, there are many times where they'll put out, you know, their prediction for something, and it's not like, no, they got a lucky guess and it got right. Like, no, they've paid attention to how the Saints operate. So when they make a certain move, all right, they saw it coming. Like, for example, Marcus Williams left, and I remember Ryan Adam were saying, you know, if Marcus Williams is past their price tag, maybe they call up Marcus May and be like, hey, what's your price tag? Do you meet our number? And lo and behold, that's literally what happened. So I think they're just such, you know, they're another one. They're getting better. I mean, they just started the podcast about like a year and a half ago, so they're only going to get better. And I think what makes them so fun is that
they block everybody.
I will say, as someone who doesn't block people, I can't totally get on board with that, but it does add to their uniqueness, right? I mean, I think if you were to say something to maybe Nick or Ross, they're just going to sit there. You say to Ryan and Adam, and all of a sudden, that's the last conversation you had with them, which also makes it even more unique.
And they put you on blast, though. It's like, you know, little old Johnny Smith from the corner that nobody has 200 followers. He, like, says something, and then they put him on blast and be like, blocked, and they let everybody in Twitter Nation know that they blocked this dude.
Oh, they do, and they do it in such a good way. Like, I think the other day, someone sassed Adam, and Adam just goes, well, you're going to get this block, though. And I was like, you know what? I was like, this cracks me up when I just see it on my timeline.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I don't sell yourself short here, because I listen to your podcast all the time. Like, I do my own podcast, and I'm not one of those people that's, like, a narcissist. I'm like, oh, I'm doing what I'm doing. I like to learn from other people, and I love different perspectives. And the fact that you're not in New Orleans and the perspective that you give, I love it. The stuff that you did with Jono, man, I was dying laughing, because I just had Jono on the podcast and was just talking to him about the content that he's creating as well, right? And I definitely listen to your podcast all the time, and I love your take. And I love the fact that you can, like, kind of keep it with a little bit of edge. You know what I mean? You don't have to come off super clean and make it so that you're making everybody else feel good. You kind of come off with a bit of an edge, and you kind of say, you know, a little F you in what you're saying when you give your takes, which I love. And then sometimes you chill it back. So I think that's a really good balance. A couple that you didn't put on there in your top three that I think would be, you know, honorable mentions, or even ones, and you could speak on this if you listen to them or if you pay attention to them at all, but John Hendricks.
Absolutely.
Like, John is, I just look at John as an OG. Like, John is just a guy that just, he, the amount of work that John must do for the content that he puts out, it's just awesome. And I think that if you are just learning how to be a Saints fan or just learning more about the team itself, you could just follow John and just get a ton of information from John as well. And then the last group, and I've been listening to these guys, I honestly want to say it's been a decade. I could be wrong. It could be a little bit longer, or it could be shorter by like one or 2 years. but the Saints happy hour guys. Like having Ralph and Andrew and Dave and Kevin, and Kevin's not there all the time, but you know, for particularly Andrew, and Ralph's pretty funny. Those guys, can you speak on those guys at all? Do you listen to those guys' stuff or?
Oh yeah, no, I can speak on both. For starters, I'll say you mentioned John. I remember when I first started, I kind of like joined Saints Twitter. I want to say in like either 2016 or 2015, and the first like person who was a reporter that for some reason, you know, followed me back when I had my account was John. And I remember with just, you know, constantly DM him just for just tips and pointers. And you talk about him being an OG, like he is kind of like by the book journalist of like, he does his work. He's so diligent. And I actually do think he's almost grossly underrated right now.
Yeah.
With in terms of like, you know, if Saints Twitter were to do like, you know, a poll or, you know, God forbid another bracket, which, you know, that I hope to, you know, they stay away from. He almost would not be ranked nearly as high as he should be. I think he's phenomenal. And he's another one. He does everything, writing, podcasting. I mean, Saints News Network wouldn't be where it is without him. So he's just an absolute stalwart in this realm. And you mentioned before about how Ryan and Adam kind of just always put people on blast. I love that Ralph and Andrew, particularly Andrew going at Ralph, has no problem putting him on blast, and they'll kind of roast each other on Twitter. And they're the type where they've worked together so long, when they put out content, it's like an awesome married couple arguing in a good way. Like, they are so good. And they're another two. They're two guys that – and I love this about everyone that I've mentioned. And I obviously can only speak for myself, but I would imagine they're like this with other people too. I've had such kind interactions with them, and I love the fact that for Saints Twitter, there's so many people that you can just hop in someone's DMs and, you know, they'll be happy to chat. Like, when you message me, man, I get excited. I'm like, I can't wait to talk with you. And it's just there's such a good community there, and you mentioned it before with the Saints having that advantage in terms of their just media group and just in general content. Like, you mentioned Jono before. I mean, he is absolutely, without a doubt, the most creative guy, at least I know, on Twitter. Because everything's a new thing with him, and everything is just so funny. And for some people, shticks get old, and his, it keeps getting better. So I just think that Saints fans, for anyone listening, just know like how blessed you are. I mean, you have so many different podcasts. You have so many different good reporters. And I'm sure there's some that do get on people's nerves. I'm sure I get on people's nerves from time to time. But like, there really are so many outlets, and the guys you mentioned, you know, even if I didn't mention them in my three, I still hold them at least near and dear to my heart in terms of how I view them and respect them in this business. And there's probably about another 5 to 10 we could have mentioned still. Like, there's just so many options.
That's for sure. And I laugh because when you said about the kindness aspect, the very first, when I first started this, like, I'm the kind of guy, I shoot my shot all the time. You know what I mean? I don't mind being shut down. I don't mean being told, hey, no go, no dice. But I reached out to Ralph and I just said, hey, listen, we're a group of kids from Canada. You know, we're doing a podcast, etc. Would you be down to be interviewed? I've been listening to you for like, you know, the better part of a decade almost. And he's like, yeah, no, not a problem. Let's do it. And I just thought to myself, this guy's got his own stuff going on. He's on TV. You know, he's been doing this for a long time, and he's just going to talk to, you know, quote unquote, little old me. So I thought that was pretty cool. And I do love the fact that I can reach out to all you big names, you know, all you big check marks, and I can get you guys to kind of holler at me back. So that's I appreciate that a lot. I know you got to get out of here, and I promised you I wasn't going to keep you long. So just wrap up, you know, whatever's been happening in the Saints world in about, you know, 5 minutes in the last 3 months. What's been happening?
Yeah, I mean, hey. This offseason, dude, I'll tell you what, before we kind of get out of here, it's so funny because I remember about, I want to say like 2 weeks ago, I would have so many people like just, you know, whether they're replying to me on Twitter or DM me, they're like, what the heck is going on with this organization? Like, they're so mid, as the kids say, and they're like, this is ridiculous, and we're not making any moves. And then, you know, they made that trade with the Eagles the other day, and now everyone's mindset's changed. It's like, oh my God, we're so aggressive. I love it. This is what I wanted to see. And I'm like, hey, look, I'm happy that Saints Twitter's happy, but like, the offseason's long, man. Everyone was getting so like caught up in the first 2 weeks that they kind of lost the big picture. But like, the NFC is still super weak.
Yeah.
This team at the very least is respectable, and that's me lowballing like the talent level. Like, they're a respectable roster at the minimum.
Yeah.
And let's see what they do with these draft picks. If they have another great draft, and I know 2017 is so hard to replicate, but if they have another great draft, you're looking at a team that's not only competing today, but for years to come. And I think, like, that for me excites me. That's something that pulls me back in. And there's always some time, like, you kind of hit a lull with a team, and I was scared they were going to hit that this offseason, but that type of trade, the aggression they've shown, you can't help but be excited.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I'm actually really excited with the moves that they've made so far in the offseason with the signings. You know, like the Taco Charlton and the kid from Tampa Bay, Justin
Evans, yeah.
Justin Evans. So those are, like, two high pedigree guys that you're bringing into the room. You know what I mean? And I think this is Taco's last chance. If he doesn't perform well here, I don't think he's going to get another look anywhere else. So Jahlil Johnson is another one that we brought in, you know, and then Marcus May after a suspension and his recovery from the Achilles. Like, we brought some good bodies into the building while still re-signing Traquan. I hope we, in the draft, I really hope we get a really good receiver. Like, I heard you talk on your podcast about the guys that you really want. You're Jameson Williams, number one, right? That's your guy?
Yeah, that's my guy for sure.
Is he going to be ready to go right away, though, or is he going to be like a November kind of guy?
You know, I don't know if he's going to be ready to go right away, but from everything that people are saying, like, I'm starting to think at most he misses like four to 5 weeks. Like, I don't think November is the return. I think if anything, it's October, but like early October. I mean, they said he was ready to do sprints like around now, and he tore his ACL in early January. So I think like the timeline's good for him. And
yeah.
For me, the thing is, the way I view it, it's always a value game with me. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the Saints drafted Lattimore, in my head going to the draft, I'm like, granted, he wasn't coming off an ACL tear. I never thought he would get to where he got, like, in that draft order. Never in my wildest years. And for Jameson, if Jameson didn't get hurt, I think Jameson would be a top 10 pick. So, like, if you could hypothetically get a top 10 prospect at 16 or 19, I'm okay with waiting a month, because when they come back, it's just that big play potential. He's the type of receiver that you look around the league and you want. And I promise you, teams like the Chiefs, they're probably thinking about, hey, how can we move up? We lost Tyreek Hill. We could use a guy like that. So the Saints can get a guy like him or an Olave. That changes the excitement around this team.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset if we got any of those top five guys. The only guy I don't want is London. Just something about Pac-12 receivers I'm not a big fan of. But like Olave, like you said, I don't think Garrett Wilson will be available for us. I think he'll be gone. I think he's the first one off the board. But yeah, like, I would love Jameson. You know who else I'd like sneaky later on in the draft if we could get him? John Mechie. I'd like to stash him.
I think that's another guy. And you know what? He might be someone who plays earlier than people thought too. And I think Mechie, for me, I had pre-injury, I thought he was a surefire second rounder. Yeah. So if this guy slips to day three, if he slips to the third round, I mean, the value's so good. I'll say this. I love this receiver class so much that, like, everyone wants a day one receiver, including me. Mm-hmm. But they can not go day one receiver, and they can go, like, offensive tackle and maybe BPA, whatever.
Yeah.
And day two, they can get a guy like Mechie who can play the inside and can make plays there. And they can also get, like, a kid like Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, who is a 4.38, I believe, 6'3" wide receiver who is going to go down the seam and just give you those vertical routes. Like, there's so many options here. Sky Moore from Western Michigan, that guy, he literally reminds me of Golden Tate. Like, there are so many good receivers that just get me at least one. Yeah. Get me at least one, and get me one on day one or day two.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot of guys. Sky Moore tripped me out when I watched his highlight package because he's wearing number 24. Yep. It's such a weird number for a wide receiver to wear. But yeah, Jahan Dotson, like you mentioned, Alec Pierce, wasn't he like a Raz? He was like a Raz, like, wonder kid, right?
He is, yeah, because he has the size with the speed, and it's just so unique for a guy like him.
I don't want Christian Watson. I think I've been telling everybody, I think Christian Watson's going to flop. I think that's our, you know, I can't really give an, like, a comp to him, but like, just, I think he's one of those kids that tested great, and I don't think he's going to do well in the NFL. It'd be really hard for me to see a kid coming from that program. It's a small program. It's actually not that far from us. It's 2 hours from us to excel in the NFL. You know, and the same thing with Pierre Strong. But anyways, I could talk about this forever, and I don't want to jump into it because I know you got to go. Anyways, my man, tell the people where you're at. Plug your stuff so everybody knows where you're at, because I know where you're at, but these people got to know where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate it. If people can follow me on Twitter at Rosvoglu Report, Rosvoglu Report, and they can check out the Straight Up Saints podcast at Bukru Media. I also have the live streams on YouTube, so if that's easier for people, they can check those out when anytime the Saints decide to make some type of fancy move, and I feel like it's appropriate to live stream, just like earlier this week on a Monday. So
perfect. As long as you can change up that that tequila ad, because I can't drink tequila. You got to get something else. You got to get a different ad going on that start.
I heard next up is whiskey, so I think I'll do just fine. I would rather that over the tequila, to be honest.
Me as well. Me as well, my friend. Anyways, you take care of yourself. Be safe. And thank you so much for popping through, my man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Ron.